Ladies and gentlemen, and friends of Jack Benny, the National Broadcasting Company is very happy to welcome you here tonight, and we appreciate your joining in with us in this testimonial to a great artist. We feel that it is fitting and proper that another great artist act as master of ceremonies at this meeting. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you as our master of ceremonies a man who for 12 years has entertained the American audience. He is known as the great discoverer. He discovered, I think, every known radio actor except Jack Benny. And he recently discovered John Barrymore. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you a man who has done much in the entertainment world, much to give great pleasure and entertainment to millions upon millions of American people, one who has earned the right to preside here as a great artist, one who has presided at programs in the National Broadcasting Company for 12 years, Rudy Vallee.
Jack would say, thank you, Don Gilman. I've been a little bit envious of that throwback to the court jester that we dignify with the term comedian. It's a very great gift, great perhaps as the power that the surgeon has to heal those who are ill, to be able to bring laughter into the heart, minds, and innards of human beings. Comedians and those who write for them perhaps number into the thousands. But few indeed become really great, truly great. And in radio, with its voracious appetite for material and its persistent weekly demand for outstanding performance, has made very few who are truly and indeed great. Our man of the evening is one of these very fortunate, unusual few. I could say that we are here to pay tribute to him, but those of us who are in radio and who know the National Broadcasting Company are here chiefly to see NBC get the check. We're here to see NBC pay at the source. And if you didn't enjoy your dinner, might I suggest a little later on that you order something special? Anything you'd like. The best thing in the house. Caviar, if possible. And if you didn't enjoy the wine, get the best vintage of 1932 and 33. Those were the best years. Order plenty of it. I want to see NBC go deep this time. Jack Benny, cradled in vaudeville, came up through radio, as many of us did, and I'm going to leave others to tell you what he has done, but I'd like to point out in passing, as a radio performer myself, the innovations for which he is more or less responsible. He wasn't the first to take a band leader or a singer and make him a speaking part of his program, but at least he had the courage to change them in midstream, which many of us have never done. And the fact today that many of our shows are 30 minutes in length are unquestionably due to the fact that Jack was the first to take the 30-minute show and prove that it could be as great in popularity, if not greater, than the hour show. For that, I can't forgive him, because I like the hour show myself. Jack proved, too, contrary to what George White and others in show business would have you believe, that you could lay off during the summer, come back in the fall and garner all your votes again, and have your listening audience greater than ever. Those are truly great innovations for which we in radio are deeply appreciative. And he has done something that I've always felt should be done, and that is to spotlight the others in your cast and sometimes let them even take greater prominence than yourself. And he does it with the greatest magnanimity, for which people love him. West Coast NBC, profiting by East Coast NBC's 10th anniversary at the Waldorf Astoria, of which little should be said, has decided to make tonight's affair one of wit, humor, comedy. The laity, those with their dry as dust statistics and speeches, will be in the minority. I asked for a gong so as Junior Major Bowles I might gong them into obscurity if they went over too much allotted time. That was denied me, but I hope that those who are not of the comedy trend will make their speeches very brief this evening, because we want it to be a gay evening. We want the speeches and even the comedy to be short so that you can come back to ordering the special meals and your champagne and enjoy yourself dancing after it. Jack Benny has that quality of personality and that outstanding something, that unique quality of his humor, has somehow kept him apart from the forked tongue of jealousy that most people in show business have known only too well. I've never heard anyone, not even his own colleagues, ever at any time speak enviously of Jack and his work. For that reason, every comedian who does pay tribute to Jack tonight, I know speaks from the fullness of his heart with all the sincerity at his command. I want to present the first one in order, as our routine goes this evening, a young fellow who recently received his draft number. Fortunately, he was able to secure deferment due to the fact that he has a very dependable. And, what am I talking about anyway? I want to present him because he's fortunate, as I say, in securing that deferment that he could be with us this evening. Charlie McCarthy and his dependable, Edgar Bergen.
Well, I can't do justice to this tribute to Jack Benny without my partner, Charlie McCarthy. And I believe between the two of us, we'll do it up as it should be done. Charlie. Is it dull?
No.
Did Benny get any laughs?
No.
To be invited to this dinner and to sit at this table makes me very proud.
I'm dying, folks. I'm bleeding blood, all right.
To have an opportunity to express my admiration for that great showman, that comedian, Jack Benny. I'm very happy to have that occasion.
That ain't the way you talk about him around the house.
All right.
That's right. NBC told him to say that.
No. They did nothing of the kind.
Well, I know they censored my speech. But I remember most of it. I could quote it. By God, I will. And he's so damn smug. All right.
No.
Think I could make it. All right.
I hope the rivalry among radio comedians will continue in the pleasant and healthy state that it's in, because I think it is great sport. I've known Jack a long time. As a matter of fact, we worked in vaudeville together.
Yeah. Between the two of you, you weakened it so Bob Hope could make the kill.
Yeah. Charlie, Charlie, do you want all these people to go home?
No, just Jack.
No, all right. To go home thinking that you're not a gentleman, that you can't behave like a gentleman?
No.
That you can't censor your own speech?
No.
You don't want them to think that?
No, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, fine.
Wouldn't you like to say something nice to Mr. Benny?
Yes, I would. Yes.
I want you to be a gentleman. I want you to be a fine gentleman tonight.
Yes, yes.
Look how well Jack behaves himself.
He's rehearsed it.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Benny, we of the younger generation bow in reverence to your proud gray toupee.
No.
You are a great showman, Mr. Benny. You're one in a thousand. When you were created, they broke the mold. I can't say that I blame them.
All right.
I think you're very, very comical. Ha ha.
Yes.
Even though your Crosley may not be as high as ours, even though you do not have as great a listening audience, we still, it does not mean that you're no good. Entirely. Well, not really. Even though you're Crosley, Charlie, you're, will you stop nudging? Hey, what? What?
I say our Crosley.
Isn't I? What are you saying, man?
Yes. No. Our Crosley is not higher than that.
It is not higher? Are you mad?
No.
He is a grand showman. He is... Are you sure about that?
Yes.
He's a lovable fellow. What is our Crosley?
Yes. Our Crosley is 31.
31.
0.2.
31,
yes.
What's the stinkers?
Jack's Crosley is 33.
Yipe! Why, you stingy miser, you great...
All right, understand. Well, we are not going to let that Crosley interfere with our friendship.
No.
No, we're far above that.
Yeah? Then why do you whip me every time you read the Crosley?
No.
I'm not even allowed to mention Rochester's name around the house.
Oh.
It isn't Chase and Sanborn that's keeping you awake at nights. It's Jell-O.
Is that something?
And we don't even keep the damn stuff in the house. You've gone pretty far, Bergen.
Yes.
He even tore up the picture of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, no. Well, we are here to celebrate Jack's 10th anniversary.
Yes.
He's made a career of radio.
We could have done it in half the time.
Yes.
And I'm afraid we will.
But I want to say in all seriousness, Jack, that the crown of Crosley rests on the head where it fits the best. So we bow to you, King Jack.
Yes.
And we're very happy to have it just this way, and may it continue for a long time.
And believe me, Jack, if we can steal it from you, by God, we will.
These two personalities, like our man of the evening, were cradled in Fortville. Like Jack, they came up through the hard way in radio, but so great is their homespun appeal to the millions of radio listeners that during a layoff occasioned by a severe illness of one of the two, they came back greater, bigger than ever, with Air Crosley approximating the other two. It's a pleasure to present Fibber McGee and Molly.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We just want to briefly congratulate Jack Benny sincerely on his 10th anniversary.
Oh, indeed we do. Isn't it wonderful, McGee?
You bet. Any guy that can parlay a fiddle and a polar bear and Fred Allen into a career deserves all he can get. And what does he get?
What does he get?
Yeah, what does he get?
Why, he gets a fine dinner and 35% off on all RCA radios.
That's really wonderful. Thank God they finally took our picture. That's really wonderful, you know, Molly, 10 years on radio. That's something, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's grand. I tell you.
How long have we been on the radio?
How long have we been on?
Yeah.
16 years.
16 years. What did NBC give us on our 10th anniversary?
Don't you remember, dearie?
No.
Why, that's the year they started signing our contracts with ink. McGee.
Hmm?
I heard. I heard that Jack is going to own his own network when he gets through with his contract.
Why not? NBC has to give a network to somebody.
I think we better sit down, dearie.
Huh?
We better sit down.
Why?
I'm hungry.
Just why the sponsor should be the butt of so many jokes in radio is something I've never been able to understand, because after all, he's the man who pays and pays and pays. Although sometimes his wife may run the program, it's still the man who pays. I had hoped to use the analogy that it would be as difficult for a Yale man to say something nice and kind about a Harvard man as it would be to introduce this particular sponsor, but I discovered shortly before the dinner got underway that I should have remembered it from a banquet back in New York several years ago, that we both have the same alma mater, New Haven. So I can't use that analogy, but I will say that it's a little difficult for me to be kind and generous in this introduction after 10 years of having tried to sell yeast, Chasen Sandwich coffee, and royal gelatin to introduce a man who sells Maxwell House and Jell-O. It is difficult, and I know that Standard Brands would never forgive me for it. But I do feel that most of you should realize that this man is the very important keystone in the arch of all that is radio. For the benefit of the uninitiated, radio consists of vaguely three or four forces. First, the sponsor, the advertising agency, the network, and the performer. And any hostile legislation or any forces inimical to the interests of any one of the four is a death knell to radio. And we hope that nothing ever will destroy the harmony of the working of these four. It wasn't until these sponsors dared to unloosen their purse strings and invest millions of dollars a year in radio programs that radio came into big time, into its own. And it is only from these profits that the networks in turn were enabled to bring to the masses of radio listeners, cultural and educational programs, symphony programs, and other things that have made radio really interesting and worthwhile. So I feel that the debt to the sponsor is indeed a very great one. Perhaps the greatest compliment I can pay this gentleman is to say that he had the courage and faith, when other sponsors possibly didn't feel the faith that he felt in Jack Benny, to underwrite him for the tune of many millions and to see his dream come true. I'd like to present the president of General Foods, Chester Colby. Brother, may I correct myself? Colby Chester.
Mr. Toastmaster, guest of honor, ladies and gentlemen, I would be negligent indeed if I did not express to our host and the great organization he represents profound appreciation for this wonderful tribute to Jack Benny. I am sure the hero of the evening would be the first, however, to pay deference to the men and women who have provided the physical means whereby his fame has been established. As millions of Americans sit nightly in their royal boxes, their own homes, and listen while history and art and science, joy and sorrow, and the human interest stories of the daily life of a great people are brought before us, we are apt to forget the years of research, the vast sums of money, and the devotion of the inventive minds that have made it all possible. We pay them tribute, too. As a spokesman for the General Foods family, I am profoundly pleased to appear here tonight at the birthday party of our famous son. Frankly, I think you all should know that our boy Jack has been no pampered son. He has shaped his career in the American tradition. He has made good on his own. He is truly a self-made success. And certainly, he has been a success, unprecedented in the world of entertainment. Incidentally, perhaps it would not be amiss if for a moment we examined the role played, not by this outstanding favorite of radio, but by the sponsor. What is the sponsor's job? Well, one job is giving autographs. By the way, Jack, I must get yours before I leave. You have been getting mine for every week. Now for the last 7 years. But seriously, it is our belief that a sponsor has a tremendous responsibility to the public. Like his products, a sponsor's radio program must have high merit, and they must give rich satisfaction week in and week out. The sponsor must get performers in whom the public has confidence, provide the show with a far-reaching network, and then allow the star to produce the show as he sees it. And that is what we have tried to do. We have given Jack Benny free rein to entertain and delight, to build up a unique characterization. We have allowed him to give full expression to his marvelous talents, and proudly we have watched him take the lead and hold it. That is why I say that if this night is a great triumph and glory for Jack Benny, it is because he deserves it. He has earned it. It is his alone. The boy from Waukegan has the goods, and the radio public will agree with me. He delivers it every time he goes to bat. It is important, too, I think, that someone point out this revealing fact. Jack Benny's programs have sparkled and exploded with fun, but he leans ever backward to make them clean, decent fun for the whole family's ears, and welcomed in the households up and down our land. The script often seems to require Jack to suffer setbacks. He often gets buffeted about. He meets disappointments. But he is there trying. He can't be squelched. He can't be dismayed for long. There is something magnificent and inspiring in an unconquerable spirit like that. Perhaps secreted in the tumult of laughter, there is a brave lesson for all of us in the Jack Benny program. Yes, he'll do. He'll pass any test. After all, you remember the famous old Latin saying, Bene homo generosus. Bene alumnus. Bene judex ropi bene. Freely translated, this means a gentleman, a scholar, a judge of a good cigar. Yes, indeed, those old Romans knew their bene. Bene dicere, to speak well. Bene facere, to do well. Bene vivere, to live happily. Bene populi, belonging to the people. And that's our Jack. So I salute you, Jack Benny, and Mary Livingston, too. None of us know what is in store for this land of ours, but whatever it is, be it blood or tears, toil or sorrow, or years of peace and contentment, may your voices continue for many, many years to come to bring joy and laughter to America's listening millions.
Now you see what we learn up at New Haven. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Eli, for your brevity and for your faith and for your faith in Jack Benny. I find words feeble in trying to express the word friendship, and these two people are perhaps the dearest friends that Jack Benny and Mary Livingston know. Together they've shared their hopes, their joys, their sorrows, and their very great triumphs. Two of the finest people in radio. I rarely use the word swell, but I'll say two of the swellest people in radio, Grace, George, and Gracia.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gracie and I were thrilled to be asked to say a few words on this occasion because we've known Jack Benny all our lives, and we're very happy to be here.
Anna.
And, of course, this is the first time NBC has ever honored one of their stars on this occasion, and it's really a thrill. It's really a thrill to be here tonight.
I don't think so.
Oh, quiet. And if there's anything you want to know about Jack, I'll be glad to tell you.
Because nobody cares what I think.
Of course.
Nobody ever listens to me except myself. You can't go by me. I listen to anybody.
I've known Jack
all my life. I know what's going
on.
I'm well.
As a matter of fact, we've been handled by the same.
Anyway, I've got my own ideas about this dinner. I think the whole thing is
filled. Patrick was the fella, and
anyone's going to be given the dinner, it should be Mary Livingston. She's the one who ought to have this dinner. Mary's the one. She's the one who ought to have the dinner, Mary.
Even in those days.
Poor Mary. Mary deserves the dinner if I ever saw a person deserve a dinner. She deserves the dinner.
Quiet. Mary Livingston.
Yeah, Mary Livingston. Yes. She's the one.
Yes.
Jack's wife. Here.
I know that. Yes. What's bothering you, Gracie?
Oh, I think the whole thing is ridiculous. Poor Mary. She's been home cooking for Jack for 10 years, and they finally get a chance to go out one night and they give him the dinner.
You think NBC ought to give Mary the dinner?
Sure. She could do with a good dinner.
I see.
She looks like she hasn't eaten for years.
I see. Yeah, the kid has been leading a hard life.
Sure, that's just because Jack is cheap, that's
cheap,
all.
Yes.
Just plain cheap.
Yeah, the cheapest fella in the whole world, I guess.
He doesn't pay her enough to buy peanuts.
How do you know?
She only gets a little more than I do.
Gracie, what about those diamond bracelets that she wears and those diamond clips?
Yeah, but she has to wear them all the time.
I say.
He wouldn't even buy her a safe to put them in.
He's cheap, yes. Cheap kid. Saw her coming home the other day with Jack, and she had 7 Lily Dashé hats that she just bought.
I bet she had to carry them.
It's too bad, yeah. Shame.
Fine gift, buying her 7 hats. He knows she's only got one sister to give them to.
A sister, Babe.
Yeah,
Babe.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one that's married to that black-faced comedian, Mike
Plum. Yeah.
Well, don't worry about Mary. She's doing all right. Jack just bought her a beautiful home with a big swimming pool.
Oh, sure. Full of water.
Full of water, yeah.
What does he want her to do, drown herself?
That reminds me, I got to fill our pool, too.
Yeah. Poor Mary.
Yes.
She gets up early every morning, never gets a chance to see the daylight.
Never gets a chance to see the daylight?
No, by the time she walks through the 56 rooms to the front door, it's dark outside.
Why doesn't she go out the back way?
Can't. Full of riders.
Full of riders?
Sure.
Got riders in the back room?
Sure. Jack uses them on the back room floor instead of bearskin rugs.
That Bill Morrow must feel at home there.
Sure, he does.
Yes.
You know, you can kill yourself if you step on his head.
Yes.
It's very slippery.
Slippery, yes, I know. All right, Gracie, Jack is a big meanie.
Yes,
he's a hippie.
He certainly is.
He's a bad man.
Yeah. And look at Mary's poor brother, Hillard.
Hillard.
Yeah. Jack ever give him an opportunity?
Never, no.
Let's have Hillard take a bow.
Let's have Hillard take a bow, Mary.
Hillard, come on. There's a kid that could use a good dinner.
Oh, yes, he could. Jack only pays him $500 a week.
Yeah, well, where's the advancement in that?
I guess no advancement.
Wasn't Jack's brother-in-law, I bet he could be working at the May Company.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. That's Hillard over there.
Yes.
He should be very proud to have Jack for brother-in-law.
Well, I guess it could be worse.
Of course it could be.
Sure, worse. It could be Candace's son-in-law.
That would be. That wouldn't be good. You know, I know Hillard when he was a little baby.
Really?
Yes.
Bet he looked like Arthur Lines.
Yes, he did. About 10% of them look like Arthur Lyon. Small Arthur Lyon.
Yeah, well, you know, as a matter of fact, they still look alike.
Hillard and Arthur Lyon.
Yeah, they're both round-shouldered around the waist.
Around the waist. Round-shouldered.
Yeah.
Hillard should do as well as Arthur Lyon.
Yeah, Jack Benny should do as well as Arthur Lyon. Boy. You ought to see the offices that Lyons has.
Nice offices.
Ooh, they're beautiful.
Really terrific.
They're the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Yes, sir.
It's a regular Jewish Shangri-La. Oh, it's lovely.
A Jewish Shangri-La?
Yeah.
You mean nobody ever dies there?
Yeah, oh, no? You ever see Lester Lynch?
Lester Lynch?
Yeah.
That's that small Tom Harrington,
yeah,
isn't that
yeah,
the fella?
Yeah.
I thought so, yes. Lester Lynch.
Yes.
Did you ever meet the Arthur's brother, Sam Lyons?
Sam Lyons?
Yes.
Oh, is he the one who's the interpreter for Jack Benny's father?
Yeah, that's the fella.
Oh, yeah, I saw him.
Yes, that's the fella.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Gracie, Sam Lyons, Arthur Lyons, Lester Lynch, Tom Harrington, Hillard, everybody thinks Jack is a wonderful fella.
What about Harry Conn?
Quiet. Harry Conn. I still think Jack is a wonderful fella.
I don't think so. I think Mary's a wonderful fella.
All right, they're both wonderful fellas.
So is Mary.
All right.
Mary's a wonderful
fella. We both agree, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, let me finish my speech. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're very happy that Jack has been giving this honor, and deservedly so. Jack has been the number one comedian on the air for years.
I don't think he's so wonderful. If he's so wonderful, why doesn't he get a valet for Mary like Rochester? Then she can be the number one comedian on the air, too. I think
Mary
deserves it.
She's
the one who should have
Thanks.
The dinner. That's it.
I remember this young fellow, he of the retrosé nose, in a show called Ballyhoo in 1932 or 33, In radio, he took considerable time to find himself and 12 writers, but when he did find himself, his socko and youthful type of humor has captured the imagination of radio audiences and is one of the pride and joys of the National Broadcasting Company and his sponsor. It's a pleasure to present the young man who popularized Thanks for the Memory, or the boy who popularized Irium, or the boy who popularized the tooth powder, or Bob Hope.
Thank you very much. You get on here according to your Crosley. But I'm very happy to be here. Thank you, Mr. Valley. You've improved. I don't know, you seem to be a different Valley. You're stronger. I guess that's from holding up Barrymore. But anyway, I am very happy to be here, ladies and gentlemen, at this fine affair. If I'd known they were going to routine it this way, I'd have had my agent down to see you earlier, Gilman. But I really haven't much material prepared. I'm also working pictures. But it's a thrill being here anyway at this wonderful publicity stunt. I think this night may revive Benny. Ten years on the radio, that's an awful lot of time to spend to try to top Fred Allen, isn't it? No, but I tell you, I'm really surprised that I'm up here on the dais. Mary gave me my choice of speaking or having a table in the men's room. But I don't know the fellas from the Columbia Broadcasting Company, so I didn't want to... But it's a kick anyway, and this is a fine dinner. I want to congratulate NBC. It's a great dinner. I've tasted the food and the drinks and everything, and I don't think it's possible that they have to sell the Blue Network just to pay for this. getting back to our guest of honor, and sincerely, Jack, I don't have to tell you, does a great program. In fact, he's my favorite among the older comedians. And you can't deny that he's very funny. He's a very funny man. I wish I could walk that way. And he's had a lot of rating for years. He never has to worry about rating. They don't ask what Benny's Crosley is. They just say, who's second? And I've been very jealous of his show because he has a lot of continuity. So easygoing. Continuity. That's French for let's go to Palm Springs and the hell with the jokes. But I followed Jack for years. I heard him. I think I heard his first program on the air. I laughed so hard I dropped my earphones. Really, it was wonderful. And I know that everybody listened. You folks must have heard him. He goes on 48 hours before the Pepsodent show. Fortunately for my writers, but it's really a great thing. And that's really an achievement, 10 years in the radio. In that time, 10 years, you could make enough money really to afford the kind of food your ulcers won't let you eat. And I think everything's been said about Jack. I don't want to say too much. I mean, you hear people, I know him very well. I was in vaudeville with him, too. And you hear people say he's tight. I happen to know that he's a generous fellow. In fact, right now he's supporting 14 relatives and a married couple from Anaheim who claim they can grow hair. You And you know that radio is rough on hair. In fact, your forehead and your Crosley go up together. Of course, he is a little thrifty. The Bank of America has a branch out in Beverly Hills they call Bundles for Benny. And every week he goes over to Crosby's house, and they decide whether they're going to foreclose on the White House or not. In fact, it's a toss-up in Hollywood, whether Benny or Crosby have, which one has the most money. You can't decide. Neither one of them will toss up anything. But I happen to know he's a grand guy. In fact, the other night I saw him down on Hollywood Boulevard passing out dollar bills. That was the same night I saw Hearst going in to see Citizen Kane. But really, I've tried to be funny, and I just want to be serious for just a few minutes, which would probably be funnier. And I just happen to know that Jack... I mean, we all know that Jack is a great, great comedian. Has a style. And all I want to say is that when bigger laughs are manufactured, Rochester will get them. Thank you very much.
Jack Benny's film boss is a man of the Old South, a man who knows his theater, and it is no mere coincidence that some of the best Benny pictures have been made since he took over at Paramount. Mr. Y. Frank Freeman.
Paper shaking in my hand is not caught by any breeze. Tonight, the radio industry is paying tribute to one of its great artists, Jack Benny. We of the motion picture industry wish here, at this time, to thank our radio friends for the privilege they have extended to us of adding a few words to theirs in honoring Jack Benny. He is one of our great artists, too, and we are glad to tell the world that we're proud of him. Laughter today is a priceless treasure. We need so much more of it. To be able to entertain millions, to bring some measure of relief from the stark realities of life, we believe this is a service that can never be measured in its real, true value to men, women, and children of our world today. Jack Benny, like the real true artist he is, gives us all of this and more. We in the motion picture industry know of his contributions to every worthy cause for charity. Not only does he give of his time, but he gives of his money unstintingly as well. It is a well-known axiom in our industry that you do not have to worry about Jack Benny. He always does his share and a lot more. The word intolerance is unknown to Jack. To the worthy cause he gives of his time, of his energy, and of his money, regardless of religion, race, or creed, he typifies the real, true American spirit. Now, Jack, in behalf of your fellow workers and associates in the motion picture industry, and as their spokesman tonight, will you please accept from us our sincere and deep felt appreciation for all you have done and will continue to do for us. And please further accept from us our tribute to you, first to Jack Benny as one of us, second to Jack Benny, the real, true, great artist, and third to Jack Benny, the humanitarian and friend of all mankind.
Had I known that the next gentleman was going to be in town, I would have certainly relinquished this position, asked him to fill my shoes, because he is a toastmaster to end all toastmasters. I've watched him at so many of the Jewish Theatrical Guild dinners at the Commodore in New York, where he holds forth as only he can. Many of you are way ahead of me because you know that I'm referring to the man who's done so much for the youth of America, George Jessel.
Mr. Toastmaster, honored guests, ladies and gentlemen, this is a distinct privilege to be asked to speak here tonight. I have spoken at ever so many dinners in the past 6 or 7 months, and I'm very honored to have been asked to come here. I've had a particularly busy season. Those of you who have been reading the newspapers will know I've been particularly busy this year. No, besides that, I've been working very hard. I really have. My coming here to make a speech is the quintessence of actual sincerity because I am in no way associated with any of the guest of honor's activities. I'm not active in the radio. I'm not active in pictures. To be very truthful, outside of gin around me, I'm not active in anything. I have been speaking throughout the country on various subjects. I should say within the last 6 or 7 months, I have spoken on practically everything you can think of. From an address at Harvard College to a benefit for the poor assistant directors of Odessa. Added to that, I have been speaking all over the country wherever I might be engaged, in nightclubs, for example. I appeared only lately in Miami. The management of a nightclub, knowing that I would be so close to the language, figured that I would be an asset to their association. I was engaged to come to Miami at a nightclub, not a very elaborate one, just a very small place to dance and a few tables to dine. But upstairs, they had a very big business in that place. I was to be there 8 weeks, but the opening night, a gentleman made an eight the hard way, and the joint folded. Mr. John Royal, whom I've known for many, many years, I think has done more for broadcasting than almost any other executive that I know of, said, "Georgie, you should make something of a key speech." Well, a key speech about humanity and mankind, you hear so much of them. I was particularly interested in what the head of Paramount, Mr. Freeman, said a moment ago. I have known Benny for a long, long time. We were associated in vaudeville. Alas, poor vaudeville, gone down the road with forgotten fads like rats for women's hair, shaving cups, and single features. Mr. Benny and I appeared together along. He was at that time Benny and Woods, a musical act, classical music in dress clothes, and the audiences laughed like hell. He then became a monologist on his own, Ben K. Benny. It was a vogue at that time to have a middle initial. Most people thought there was a profundity to have a middle initial. George M. Cohan, Sam H. Harris, John L. Sullivan, Ben K. Benny, and Chico Dice Marks. I remember his routine. A funny thing, he said, happened coming to the theater today. Now, it's a funny thing if anybody comes to the theater. And I was particularly interested, and particularly since I'm only a visitor out here maybe once or twice a year, to see of this lovely halo that surrounds his head, this lovely boy that never a breath of scandal has been whispered about. Not that I'm the one to talk of such things. I recall saying goodnight to my fiancé at that time, the current fiancé, at Toledo, Ohio. As I kissed her goodbye, he kissed her hello. And answered very whimsically it was the only game in town. I like this fellow. I've known him a long time. I know his father, the William Allen White of Waukegan. I met him only a short time ago in Miami. He said, did you hear my son Jack the other night? I said, no, he's on Sunday. This is Thursday. He said, no, he was on a charity program, Bagels for Britain. And as I say, I come here, ladies and gentlemen, with only admiration in my heart. I am not on the radio at the moment. In fact, so little of the new programs, I mean, have anything but Genie with the Hair. And the quiz shows. Unfortunately, for my type of mentality, I mean, I am not adequate to be a participant in these quiz shows. I heard one the other night, the new one. Win it, guess it, catch it, and schmeck it, and everybody wins a prize. Vitally interesting. The announcer said, all right, now everybody on your mark. Be keyed up. Be mentally smart if you want to win a prize. Step up, young man. Young man stepped down to the audience. Says, what is your name? Fellas, says, Joe Krause. Ah, take $3. Oh, if the fellow would have known his own address, he can break that company immediately. I've come a long way, ladies and gentlemen, and the shrine is far where my weary feet might be. I come from a little town over 3,000 miles away, formerly called New Amsterdam. New York, they called it, but it doesn't seem to be New York since my eldest son is not the chief magistrate of that great city. I have only one thing to say about Benny and his program because it's vital, not only to me, but to all of us. The success of the Jack Benny program is a very accurate and very lovely picture of the system, please God, under which we live. Now look at it. Company of actors, Americans all, and yet all with different religious persuasions. Eddie Rochester, a Baptist or a Methodist. Schlepperman of the Jewish faith. Divine, an Episcopalian. Maurer and Boulogne, Catholics, I believe. And from the melting pot of all these emotions comes a great program. That's what makes it a great program. Now you can go further. The audience, we, the audience who listen to it, the same thing. Americans all, Jews, Catholics, Protestants, Episcopalians, Mormons, whatever religious denomination you please. Because of the tolerance of all these people put together, that's what makes us a great audience. That, please God, that's what makes this a great country. Long may it live, and long may it laugh at Jack Benny. It was my... With all apologies to the Toastmaster. It was my duty at one time to be Toastmaster for the city of New York without portfolio. It was my good fortune at that time to make a great many speeches in the mayoralty campaign in 1924. At that time, I introduced a man who was to be the mayor as Father Knickerbocker's truly begotten son. I hope that he will not feel that I'm impertinent in asking him to say a few words. I who have known him since the age of 8, love him very dearly, as do all good Americans. May I ask him, with permission of all concerned, Jimmy Walker.